Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Welcome to the day 14 recap of the trial of Karen Reed. I am Tony Bruschi. Be sure to leave your comments in the comment section if you're watching us on YouTube or on Twitter. Be sure to, leave what you think. And if you're watching us on X or Twitter, check out our YouTube channel as well, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, for a lot more content, a lot more video there, and hit subscribe, whatever platform you're picking this up on. So let's talk about the moment the courtroom went dead silent when a Massachusetts state police sergeant under oath was asked why he gave a thumbs up emoji to a text calling the defendant a retarded client. And no, this wasn't years ago or out of context or during some locker room venting session. This was in the middle of an active murder investigation, a case involving the death of a Boston police officer. And that thumbs up, it came from Sarge Yuri Bukenik, the lead investigator, who's on the stand right now in the case against Karen Reed. That one emoji became the focal point of what the defense has been trying to argue from day one, that the people investigating this case weren't just biased. They were outright hostile towards Karen Reed. And if you're wondering whether the courtroom felt that shift in tone, the answer is absolutely. This all played out during Bukenik's long-awaited testimony on May 12th. The defense had waited weeks to get him on the stand, and when they did, they didn't ease in gently. Attorney Alan Jackson came in hot, pulling up a string of text messages exchanged between Trooper Michael Proctor, another state cop on the case, and a group of colleagues. And in those texts, Proctor refers to Karen Reed in the crude, derogatory terms that we all know that he has used for her, the one that made everyone sit up. No nudes so far. That's what Proctor allegedly wrote while combing through Reed's phone for digital evidence. You think a state trooper investigating a woman for murder might approach that task with a little more professionalism? Instead, he made it sound like he was scrolling through Tinder. Then there was this gem, your retarded client. That one was addressed to Bukenik directly. And Bukenik, the guy at the center of the state's case, replied with a thumbs-up emoji. Not a reprimand, not a hey, not appropriate, just a... Now, when Jackson asked him about it, Bukenik didn't deny it. He admitted the message was inappropriate. In fact, he called it unfortunate. But that word unfortunate landed with the force of a damp tissue.
what the defense wanted the jury to see was that this wasn't just a rogue trooper mouthing off in a private chat. It was a toxic culture tolerated by the very person in charge. And it wasn't that Buchanek received the tax. It was what he did afterwards. See, a few months after all of this, after reading these messages, Buchanek filled out Proctor's performance evaluation. And how did he rate him? Exceptional. That word came up again, but this time in all caps, bold and underlined by the defense. How do you reconcile that? On one hand, you've got a trooper using slurs, objectifying the defendant, openly treating an active murder case like it's a joke. On the other, his supervisor is giving him glowing reviews and backing up his professionalism. The contradiction was the whole point of the defense's attack, and the more Buchanek tried to downplay it, the more it looked like damage control. He told the court Proctor's texts were just his way of venting frustration and that they didn't reflect how the case was handled. But when your job is to uncover the truth about a man's death and you're giving high marks to someone using the investigation as a punchline, venting doesn't cut it. At that point, the prosecution must have felt the temperature drop. You could almost feel them bracing for impact. And so, before court even got fully underway that morning, they tried to set up a parameter. Proctor, Hank Brennan, they all filed a motion, basically a legal red flag, arguing that the defense was walking a dangerous line. He warned the court that not all evidence is admissible, especially if it's meant to inflame the jury rather than inform them. This was code for, this is going to get ugly, and we want some ground rules. Judge Beverly Cannone seemed to get the message throughout the morning. She sustained objection after objection, cutting off Jackson when his questions started to drift from pointed to prosecutorial. But not before the damage had been done. Jackson didn't need to prove that Proctor was a bad guy. He just needed to make the jury wonder whether Buchanek was okay with the bad behavior and whether that tolerance bled into the investigation itself. At one point, when the courtroom started to get tense, especially during repeated questions about honor, professionalism, and integrity, Judge Cannone stepped in and called a recess. It wasn't a long one, but it was enough to let the jury reset. Get the sense that the judge wanted to prevent the entire trial from becoming a referendum on investigators, but at that point, it already had. But the jury wasn't there for all of this. Some of the most damning stuff, like the sidebar conversations and the motion Brennan filed, happened outside of their presence. But the parts they did see, the texts, the reactions, the contradictions, were more than enough to make an impression. And that was a real win for the defense today. They didn't need a Perry Mason moment. They didn't need to prove that Buchanek was lying or that Proctor planted evidence. They just needed to show that something wasn't right, that the people who were supposed to be objective while were actually laughing behind closed doors, that the chain of custody, the motive assessments, the entire direction of the case might have been shaped by people who had already made up their minds. So now Karen Reed's defense team has planted a seed, a question that's going to echo in the jury's mind for the rest of this trial. If the investigators weren't playing fair, can we trust any of the evidence that they collected? And that's where things get complicated, because tomorrow, or maybe even later, that same day, those same investigators are going to try to refocus the court on the physical evidence, the broken taillight, the surveillance footage, the timeline of events. But all of that hinges on whether the jury believes the people presenting it, not the real damage here, but what Buchanek did or didn't do with the taillight. But whether his judgment, his professional discretion has now been permanently compromised in the jury's eyes. And the irony? None of it had to happen. All Buchanek had to do was hold his team to a standard. Instead, he gave it a thumbs up. So where does that take us? After the tension around Sergeant Buchanek's credibility started to cool, the prosecution stepped in with a redirect strategy designed to bring the jury's focus back to the facts. not the character of the investigators. No emojis, not office gossip. Just a sequence of events, the physical evidence, and the statements Karen Reed allegedly made on the morning of January 29, 2022, when Boston police officer John O'Keefe was found lifeless in the snowbank outside 34 Fairview Road. And it started with a very simple rebuttal. No, the SUV was never taken back to the crime scene. Buchanek was clear and unequivocal. He and Trooper Proctor followed the tow truck carrying Karen Reed's Lexus straight from her home in Dighton to the Canton Police Department's secured garage. No scenic detours, no pit stops by Fairview. When asked directly by Prosecutor Hank Brennan if they made any unscheduled stops along the way, Buchanek replied, "Absolutely not." That answer might not sound dramatic, but it cut directly against the defense's ongoing implication that taillight evidence was manipulated, maybe even planted by investigators en route. Buchanek testified that he and Proctor stayed together in the garage the entire time, remaining within line of sight, and that there was no opportunity for evidence tampering once the vehicle arrived. To support that, the state introduced surveillance footage from inside the police garage showing the Lexus being processed in real time. One camera feed was mirrored, left and right reversed, which the defense had pointed out earlier, but Buchanek clarified that the inversion was a known technical quirk present in older footage as well. It wasn't manipulation. It was a flipped lens, and it had been like that long before Karen Reed's case. Still, courtroom surveillance video is only as persuasive as the story it helps support. So Brennan brought things back to what it was found on the scene that morning, John O'Keefe's body in the snow, partially buried and bloodied, nearly a single sneaker, a broken cocktail glass, and his cell phone discovered beneath him. There are no signs of a physical struggle, no trail of dragged footprints, just the physical indications of a sudden collapse. And that's when the prosecutor leaned into the autopsy-adjacent details. Without veering into medical testimony, Buchanek described what he saw when he viewed O'Keefe's injuries at the hospital. Abrasions and lacerations, a fractured skull, injuries more consistent, in his opinion, with a vehicular strike than with a bar fight or a fist to the head. And while the judge later struck a portion of that commentary when Buchanek began speculating about force and trauma, the key takeaway was allowed. His investigative focus shifted that morning from a possible assault to a likely car impact. That shift didn't come out of nowhere. According to Buchanek, it became, or began rather, when he learned that Karen Reed, or what Karen Reed, had allegedly said as first responders arrived. "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him," she supposedly repeated, panicked and distraught. Other witnesses recalled her asking, "Is he alive?" and mentioning that she and John had argued that night. At one point, she questioned aloud whether she'd accidentally backed into him. It wasn't a confession, it wasn't a statement made in an interrogation room. It was a raw moment in real time as medics worked to revive a man that she claimed to love. And then there was the issue of the taillight. Buchanek told the court that during the early hours of the investigation, they were informed by Jennifer McCabe, one of the people on the scene, that Reed herself had noticed the damage to her SUV. She even mentioned a piece might be missing. That comment relayed to investigators was what led Buchanek to focus in on the Lexus, and it's part of what prompted him to contact the medical examiner so early in the process. Because at that point, based on what was being said and what was being found, the working theory was that O'Keefe had been struck by a vehicle, possibly accidentally, and that the vehicle belonged to the woman who'd brought attention to the scene in the first place. Still, it wasn't just Buchanek's version of events getting airtime. The defense had plenty to say, and they brought receipts, kind of. One of the key moments on cross-examination was the presentation of security footage from the Canton police station. The defense pointed to a man believed to be ATF agent Brian Higgins, someone who had exchanged the flirtatious texts with Reed in the weeks leading up to the incident. You know, all those, the fifth grade style sounding texts, seen arriving at the station around 1:28 a.m. on the night of O'Keefe's death. In the footage, Higgins appears to me on the phone. He walks between multiple vehicles, retrieves a bag, places it into his Jeep, and later appears to be carrying what's believed to be a snow broom or shovel. He's in and out of view for several minutes during heavy snowfall. Why does any of this matter? because Higgins had reportedly said he didn't use his phone during that time. The defense used this to suggest that Higgins may have had more involvement, or at least more activity, than he previously disclosed. And whether or not that proves anything, it was enough to raise some eyebrows. Then came the testimony about the Ford Edge. A snowplow driver told investigators that he saw a Ford Edge SUV parked outside the Elbert home at 3:30 a.m., a vehicle he had not seen just an hour earlier when he passed by the same house. That detail, as small as it is, opens up a question. Did someone move a vehicle in or out of the driveway in that critical window? And if so, who? Buchanan Canal acknowledged that the Elbert family did, in fact, own a Ford Edge at the time. He didn't provide further commentary, and the prosecutors didn't pursue the point and redirect, but the information was just hanging, just enough to linger in the jurors' minds. And then the so-called house theory, the idea that John O'Keefe entered the Elbert home and was attacked inside. Buchanan testified that none of the partygoers interviewed said that they saw John go in the house, not one. He made it clear that investigators repeatedly asked, and consistently the answer was no. It's not proof that he didn't enter, but it certainly challenged the narrative that some have advanced about an altercation behind closed doors. No witnesses, no blood trail, no interior crime scene. The courtroom tone shifted again when the defense tried to introduce some speculative theories. At one point, Jackson floated the idea of beer muscles, that someone emboldened by alcohol might have started a fight. Buchanan wasn't familiar with the term, but said he understood alcohol could fuel aggression. Judge Canone shut the exchange down quickly, labeling it minimally relevant. That was the consistent judicial theme of the day: redirect attention to what's actually supported by evidence and keep hypothetical tangents to a minimum. And that's where the state tried to keep its footing. By the end of the day, Buchanan retired or reiterated that investigators found no evidence of a confrontation inside the house. He also testified that the taillight damage was visible on surveillance footage taken from outside O'Keefe's home on the morning of January 29th. In that video, the reverse light shines through where the red lens should be, indicating the taillight was already broken before the SUV had been brought into custody. Additional stills confirmed it. That detail was subtle, but very critical. It suggested that the damage did not occur during towing or at the police garage, or later. It happened before the car was seized, before it was even on the state's radar. And so the courtroom began to wind down. What was left wasn't just a debate over whose theory made more sense. It was a choice between two competing timelines, one framed around evidence, surveillance, and statements made in crisis, the other around inconsistencies, potential motives, and what might have happened behind a closed door. Court adjourned just after 4 o'clock. Jury filed out. The tension, though, stayed in the air, because for all the questions answered on that stand, just as many were left wide open. What questions do you still have? Let us know in the comments section of this video. Let us know how you think court went today. Your opinions, always looking for them, and always looking forward to reading them. So let us hear them on YouTube. If you're watching us anywhere else, Twitter, X, leave your comments there. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel as well, because we have far more videos there for you all throughout the day. If you're on the podcast channel, check it out. And be sure to check out the actual podcast channel too. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, available wherever you get podcasts. Choose the way you like to watch us, all different ways, or listen to us. Podcasts here, YouTube, Twitter, any podcast platform, we're all over the place for you. All right, there you go. Day 14, it is a wrap. There's a lot more to come. My name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Down. download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.